Well, this week we've been focusing on one of the biggest issues in this presidential campaign, offshoring American jobs. Mitt Romney's history at Bain Capital led us to an Attleboro company, a focal point to a deeper discussion of the complexities of offshoring. We heard experts lay out the pros and cons, and we listened intently as a CEO of a Bain company refused to apologize for offshoring. He preferred to use the word globalization. And we spotlighted a Massachusetts company that decided to stay put and not move jobs overseas. Well, today, WGBH Radio senior reporter Philip Martin concludes his series Inside Offshoring, through one man's past, present, and future.
For me, driving past the entranceway to Sensata on Pleasant Street in Attleboro is simply a matter of driving past a brick glass structure, a sign, a company. For the man I'll be speaking with today, it's a drive past personal history of the most painful kind.
Oh, I'm sad. You had seen a place where in its heyday, there were over 6,000 people in many different buildings doing many different jobs. And you go by there now and those buildings, some of them are still empty. The people are gone. You know, these are all my friends. You work with people for decades. You know, it's difficult to say goodbye. You try to tell yourself you got to move on. But as you can tell, I'm not a young man. And so I had never envisioned moving on. I thought I would retire and, you know, travel around or do whatever retired people get to do. Well, that wasn't the case.
For the sake of anonymity, we'll call him Joe. He's not quite ready to retire, but he took a buyout from Sensata 2 years ago. He's an example of what happens when a company moves part or all of its workforce offshore, leaving American workers without jobs. Sensata is also run by Bain Capital, a company co-founded by Mitt Romney, which makes this a focal point in the debate surrounding jobs. We're talking in the parking lot of a local library. Joe knows that his words might be ammunition for a political ad for the Obama campaign, which has attacked Mitt Romney and Bain because of their corporate history of offshoring and outsourcing. But Joe says his frustration is bipartisan.
Politicians and Romney and company, and to be fair, the people that are currently in power, sit there and go, we don't understand why the economy hasn't turned around. Well, if you check historically in the past, the thing that first brought our economy out of a recessionary period was manufacturing. Well, when you ship all the manufacturing offshore, who's going to pull you out of a recessionary period?
Joe's not an activist or a politician. He just liked his job.
I was a technician, so I did, for lack of a better term, equipment maintenance. I was the fix-it guy.
Joe, who grew up in Pennsylvania's Steel Valley and watched as jobs in factories disappeared there, used to believe in something very basic.
I came from the generation where I was a company man. Went to work for the company at some age, and that's where he retired from.
33 is the number that swirls around Joe's head almost obsessively. That's how many years he worked for Texas Instruments Sensor and Control Division, which became Sensata Technologies after being acquired by Bain in 2006.
What do I think about Bain? I think it was a business that did what they do. They buy things up, turn it around, which is usually, from my perspective, was get the people out of town, move the jobs out, put it to a place that's more profitable, sell the company and move on. And that's what they do.
But Joe says that offshoring as a business practice preceded Bain's takeover of Texas Instruments in Attleboro. In fact, it helped close the deal. And so what does the process of offshoring look like? With the potential for a company to move jobs abroad, workers cling to the hope that it won't affect their jobs. But as we've already reported, many corporate leaders believe that in order to survive and grow in a global market, offshoring is necessary.
We all had seen that the basic premise for the business decisions at the time were make ourselves look more profitable. So to do that, you get everything offshore to say we're saving money because we no longer have the hourly wages we were paying. So by the time Bain bought us, the march to the sea, if you will, to go offshore had been fully implemented.
But employees who would soon be part of Sensata were still in disbelief about the fast-paced changes taking place.
Most people just were in denial because we still had quite a few customers in the U.S. And we thought, well, we'll keep, like, some of the product lines were modularized. So we would say, well, they're not going to send all the modules offshore because we have these large customers here. It all went lock, stock, and barrel.
And like other Sensata employees in the U.S., he was ordered to train his replacement.
I did some traveling for them. I was offshore a number of times. Mexico, Korea. Wasn't bad duty. Still not home. I guess at the time was there wasn't a big option. It was like, you either train them or you're gone. You know, you either help, be part of this new paradigm, or you become an early casualty.
Joe says by taking the preponderance of operations offshore, Texas Instruments and Sensata were able to skirt basic safety regulations that are in force in the United States.
In this country, we preach safety as a religion. We have OSHA to back it up. But when it went offshore, the safeties were taken off. They were just flat ignored. If you got hurt on a production line and took you to the hospital, they fixed you up and they said, you're done here. Boom, because there were 10 people standing at the door waiting for the job.
And what about environmental standards?
So one of the things that we were absolutely aghast at is, well, and we kind of guessed it. You know, once they got it offshore, all bets were off. They didn't have to worry about, this will contaminate. Nah, we don't worry about that. Well, you know, you can't put this in the environment. Nah, don't worry about that. You know, it no longer mattered.
Tom Rowe, the board president and CEO of Sensata, says much of the criticism of the company's decision to offshore comes from a very personal place.
Anytime that you impact someone's livelihood and life, you have a bunch of dedicated employees who have committed themselves to an avocation or a vocation for a long period of time, and you see this kind of a discontinuity. But I think anytime you impact that, it's highly charged from a personal impact perspective, and it's also highly charged from a political perspective in terms of what you do about it. The world is going to drive the natural globalization of the world. So I don't think you can politically stop it or mandate it, because it's going to be advantageous at the end of the day.
After he was let go, Joe made a wish list of what he needed to do to get past his involuntary breakup with Sensata.
Matter of fact, one of them came true right across the street there in that church, because they have an employment support group.
How long did it take you to find employment?
9 months. Let's put it this way. It was the dirtiest, smelliest, noisiest job I'd ever worked in my life. And I've worked a few, armpit jobs, but this one really took the cake.
Since then, he has found another job, one that utilizes the skills that he honed over 33 years. Joe says as a skilled tradesman, he still has a hard time believing many corporations see offshoring as the wave of the future.
We did good stuff. We made good things, and we gave people a place to work and live and grow. And the fact that the business decided that it would be easier for them to make profits by moving everything offshore, well, that was when the things started going sour. You lie to yourself. You hope against hope. You say, well, maybe they'll smarten up. They'll see that these moves haven't been that good for business, and maybe they'll stop. And to be fair, there are a number of businesses that have brought stuff back onshore because it wasn't profitable to be offshore. But where I was at, that wasn't going to be the case.
Joe looks at his watch, shakes my hand, and says he's got to go. His new job is waiting. And he says for the moment, at least, that company has no plans to move offshore. Philip Martin, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.
And a footnote to Philip's series, Inside Offshoring. Since 1983, we found that more than 2 million U.S. manufacturing jobs have gone offshore. Now, to listen to the complete series or to share it with colleagues or friends, you can go to our website, wgbhnews.org.